Now on today's program, the Halloween Spooktacular is continuing in Franchise Town. This one is a real stinker, man. It's Saw. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Fuck this movie.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare, huh?
Sometimes. That is better.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks, you've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
Put the fucking lotion in the
bag! What an excellent day for an exorcism.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in. As always, like I said up top, we're talking Saw. It's from 2004, directed by James Wan, who has gone on to make much better movies than this. In the meantime, he was making Saw.
Oh, by the way, nice to meet you, fuck this.
Hi. It's a fuck this movie, actually.
Wait, you want me to say your whole name?
This is my middle name.
Are you related to Eric movie?
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
Eric movie, your brother.
Distant cousins. We're stepbrothers, actually, if we're going to be technical about thing.
How about that? A stepbrothers-esque movie.
My father, his mother, it was a real scene.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, dude.
I'd pay to watch that.
Oh, my Lord. Mom, turn this off.
So, Cabin, you are most frustrated because you're currently working on a piece for Collider where you're watching this entire franchise. Is that correct?
I had only seen the first three for most of my life. I finally just watched I watched the fourth recently, which gets into his origin story because I really fucking needed that, I guess.
Oh, dude, everybody was clamoring
And of course, it had to wait for the fourth fucking movie. This is my least favorite franchise, period. This is the one.
Well, hold on. Hellraiser?
Is way, way better. Hellraiser? Way, way better.
Puppet Master?
I mean, are we... yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know if that counts.
Avatar?
it's not a franchise yet.
Wait, are they shooting those four concurrently, or how does that
they're
work?
They're in a row. Like, they're just getting them out.
We're going to shoot them until the money runs out.
What happens if it flops? Are they just going to put them on video?
I mean, I guess Fox is going to take the long walk.
But... Well, you could turn it into a cool TV show. I don't know, man.
It'd be cool if Fox went out of business.
It would probably just go to Netflix or whatever.
Yeah,
and that's actually the best route to go, dude, because Netflix can buy all those things and then not tell anybody that they
fucking
released them.
Nobody will see them. It's so great.
Nope. Which, that reminds me, go to Netflix and watch the Meyerowitz stories, new and selected,
also,
the new Noah Baumbach movie.
Strong Island.
Yeah, super so Strong good. Island's out super there, too. Good. They just don't even give a fuck about telling you things they spend millions of dollars on. It's outrageous. Netflix ran over, but that's outrageous. Now, Saw, the movie at hand, this movie was a fucking smash sensation, man.
It really was.
They greenlit the sequel for this after the opening weekend of this first movie. That's wild.
I mean, for all my ill feelings towards this movie and the whole franchise, it's kind of it was made for a little over $1 million.
Yeah.
And it made 54 million.
It's got a nice, like, sweet story because, again, like, James Wan did go on to do great, great stuff. I think, really great horror movies.
Yeah.
So this was sort of his, like, audition tape. You almost don't want, it's like reading somebody's, like, college entry paper. You don't want to judge it too harshly.
Yeah.
But it is a movie that spawned. Is it eight movies? Is the eighth coming out?
This Friday.
Yes. Yeah. Jigsaw. It's just called Jigsaw, which I will not be playing at the Burns Halloween Marathon. Sorry to let you guys down.
It's avoid Jigsaw that shit. Where I dance. Do you want to see me dance?
Yeah.
Yeah, get dancing.
Why
is he Irish step dancing?
Because he's a jig. He's doing a jig.
That's the joke.
Want to see me do a puzzle?
Now that you could go that way with that, too.
250 pieces.
That's a cakewalk.
I was fired from Riverdance.
Oh, man. That's why he's so upset he got fired.
That Brian Flatley's really full of himself. Look at him there, prancing about. Lord of the Dance, my ass. Flatley, I'm coming for you.
Why didn't anyone ever challenge Flatley for that title?
Oh, Lord of the Dance?
Yeah, come on.
Yeah, man, that should have been contested at all times.
Michael Jackson was alive. Like, dude, I am the Lord of the Dance.
Yeah, exactly right. Fucking Michael Flatley. Whatever, Riverdance.
Well, does Michael Jackson give up that title once he, like, takes the crown of the King of Pop?
Oh, I see. You know what I mean?
Like, it's like you're not...
Well, he just
like
doesn't care anymore at that point. Like, if you are the self-proclaimed King of Pop,
right,
you don't really care about your other...
I was always wondering how Howard Stern felt about being the King of All Media. That makes him kind of the King of Pop as well. All these fiefdoms.
Wow.
Well, this fiefdom. This is a pretty interesting American Gods we've got going here.
Yeah.
Howard Stern, Michael Jackson,
Michael Flatley. I like it.
We're getting there. Also, was the King of Pop a self-proclaimed thing?
I think that was his term.
Really?
I don't know for sure, but I thought that was his term.
No idea. Did not follow Michael Jackson's nicknames too closely.
Was Joan Rivers the Queen of Mean?
Oh, I don't know.
She may have been.
I know she was an officer in the fashion police.
She was a lieutenant in the fashion police.
The bad lieutenant.
Well, what was they gave Rickles? Didn't Rickles have he was like the king of insults or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, something.
And what was
Jeff Ross, the roastmaster general?
Oh my lord, now we got a whole army. Elvis was what the king was.
He was just the king.
Oh wow! So wait, he's above everyone.
That's a good question.
But, he would be like Shadow Moon.
Yeah, get Neil Gaiman on this.
But like the king ruled a long time ago. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's just old stories.
Our king has died on the toilet. So what this movie, man, like I remember like when this movie came out, it was like, oh fuck, look at this new horror movie that's getting released in theaters. And like, admittedly, man, it had kind of been a while because like Scream 3 was 2000.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And I, you know, was anything else kind of sticking out?
This opened up against The Grudge. We were doing like Ring and like,
of course, the
horror.
The Ring remake, I think, is great.
The
still.
First one, totally. Mm-hmm. The second movie is
Brian
Cox
v. Toaster. Man,
what's that?
Brian Cox v. Toaster.
I recently rewatched that suicide scene on YouTube. Boy, that's a horrendous
it
way
holds
to go.
Up
yeah. Wait,
that's just him throwing a toaster in the tub.
Oh, but he's wired like a whole house to go into this little like
smart
device that he's wearing. It's like that guy really wants to kill himself.
Like he was either going to die or he was going to travel in time.
Oh man.
The end of Ring, and it's just Brian Cox on Plymouth Rock.
Just do it from all Brian Cox's perspective, and it's like safety not guaranteed or something.
That would actually, dude, if he traveled back in time in a horror movie, that'd be awesome. It'd be like Army of Darkness. Like the Ring franchise just turns into this medieval thing. Pretty cool. I'd watch it.
Naomi, watch. I'm in Dakota. Come and get me.
The prophesized one going back in time to save mankind from the deadites is a dumpy Brian Cox.
It's a letter from Brian Cox dated 1885, shot in the back over a matter of 80 fucking walnuts.
Wait, a bet going down to the office as to whether or not you'd actually be here, Naomi Watts.
Oh my God, Brian Cox in a saloon just like using the guns, like using the gun just to break open walnuts and eating them fast. She's like, you know, like a... You know, Biff Tannen's not going to get these walnuts.
I'm going to do it.
16 tons. What do you get?
Also, I think, if I'm remembering right, 2003 was one of our favorite movies, Freddy vs. Jason.
Oh, right.
So this it was more or less a rough time, man.
But it was like a fresh new idea. Like it wasn't
new
like, oh, this isn't a Japanese remake, which we were getting a lot of.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, man, new. And there was buzz on the street that this was going to be a franchise.
Oh, yeah.
It was like
I was so excited when this movie came out because I'm like, Cary Elwes, Danny Glover, two of my favorite people for no good reason. And then I proceeded to not watch it until last night.
Were you just like a really big Switchback fan or what?
I was, I mean, come on, man. You know, like Cary Elwes.
Sure.
Was like as a boy, I looked up to him. He was blonde and could shoot four arrows at once.
I was going to say, you are kind of a cross between the Prince and Princess Bride and, or what, the thief, I forget his name.
The Dread Pirate Roberts.
The Dread Pirate Roberts. And Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh, I thought you were going to say between Dread Pirate Roberts and Danny Glover. And then I would have agreed with you.
But yeah, it was kind of exciting that there was like a fresh idea and it was getting released in theaters, which was a big thing.
Chris, Andrew, and I saw this in theaters. We were in college at the time. I stopped off at my college job, and I talked to my now brother-in-law, and he was like, "Oh, where are you going? You're so excited." He's like, "You actually comment." He's like, "You're so excited." I was like, "I'm going to see Shaw," and he was like, "Really?" It was a real okay, man. Enjoy your day off.
He went home and considered dumping your sister. Mm-hmm. It was like, this little nerd was excited to go see Saw. I can't deal with this shit.
I'm so excited, a new horror movie.
And I guess I too was like, ooh, Cary Elwes. I will say this because I feel like over the years I may have made a joke about this on the air before. Cary Elwes, not as puffy in this movie as I remembered him being. For whatever reason, I saw this in theaters.
It's because we're getting puffy.
Yes, exactly.
So we're just like, yeah, he kind of looks like me.
Oh, who's that skinny guy on exactly. screen?
He was looking pretty spelt.
He's also trying to hold in that Australian accent, and it makes him just like look like he's holding in.
He's English.
He's English, and the Lee noted Wannell. Thespian Lee Wannell.
He's Australian.
Oh, okay. And Juan is also Australian.
Yes. Yeah, Australian English. It's all the same shit.
Oh, don't tell them that.
So if you've been living under a rock, this series is about two gentlemen stuck in a bathroom together trying to figure out their way out.
This is crazy because it's exactly how Steve and I became friends. It was two guys stuck in a bathroom trying to figure out
chained to the floor.
Chained to the floor.
Steve got elbow deep in a shitty toilet. Mm-hmm.
A body between us.
You two are the shittiest ones. Now you'll shit forever. Let's see if you can take a dump.
They're stuck in a bathroom, and they have to figure out why they're there and how to get out. Some sadistic monster is holding them there for reasons unknown.
Unknown, man. Big old question mark. And I'll tell you what. You know, this movie would be kind of more interesting. You take a little more of a risk if we cut out these fucking flashbacks.
Yeah.
If it was just like, did you see that new horror movie where they're just in this room and shit keeps happening to them?
This thing is structured like garbage. Just dump it anywhere you fucking like. Like,
man, I kind of love how much you fucking hate this shit, Kevin.
It's sloppy as hell. Like, there are huge passages that break up tension. You build tension up, and then he breaks it completely to go to these mundane scenes where nothing fucking happens.
Yeah.
Well, let's be fair now. You've seen a few of these now. Yes. This is probably the best one, right?
It has to be.
It has to be.
I've only seen the one.
Yeah, I've only seen the one.
I am of the mind that none of them are good.
Okay.
There isn't even in contract. There, it's all zero.
No, I'll tell you why, from top to bottom.
Here's
why I would say one is better. And I've only seen one through three, and I think I tried to watch four, and it was like tall glasses of water just took me right to bed.
Sure.
But they all, after this first one, get really torture porny. This one is not as torture porny.
But you see the seedlings of it here.
These sequels really amp up that shit. And at least in this movie, there's like mystery to it a little bit. There's more going on than just like Eli Roth's wet dream.
Yeah. So some people like this movie. I just want to get that out of the way. That's okay to like this movie.
I don't know anybody.
Use the GIF of Eric saying that.
Yeah. Well, we never said it on the air. Giphy.com/WeHateMovies. We shot a bunch of animated GIFs. GIFs.
Find out if we're fatter than you think we are or skinnier than we think you are.
Dead on. Or you might be dead on.
Right on.
Figure out if we're fatter than Cary Elwes.
I'm not fatter than you, you bastard! You bastard!
He's doing a lot of yelling in this movie. Eric, what are you saying?
I was about to bring up, you mentioned Eli Roth's wet dream, and I was just, it created a vivid image in my mind that I think Hostel was around this time too,
Hostel
right?
Hostel was like 2005?
Yeah, I think that was maybe like probably greenlit because
this,
of this.
Okay, yeah. So,
and that movie stinks.
That's also a shitty movie.
You are correct.
That's 05.
But I only think that one only got like three or four in, and then they stopped it.
There's only three.
Hostel 2 less interesting. Because like literally the only cool thing about Hostel is it's happening to guys. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, wow. It's like what you'd kind of expect any shitty horror movie. And also this movie as well to that point.
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, wow, you know, just we're cutting up pretty ladies. And then Hostel 2, it's, yep, we're cutting up pretty ladies.
Well, can I begin?
They go back to dudes, though. Sorry, Kevin, but
Hostel 3 back to dudes.
you more or less, because if I'm remembering correctly, the third movie takes place in Las Vegas, and the dudes involved in the hosteling are attending a bachelor party. So yeah, it's Hostel 3 back to dudes. Sorry, like what were you saying, Kevin?
Like, this is like the old resentful man as mass murderer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, sure. Dick Cheney? You're talking about Dick Cheney?
Yes, Dick Cheney is the Jigsaw.
Want to play a game?
But like, okay,
I'm going to put these two countries, Afghanistan and Iraq, in a room together.
Want to go hunting with me?
Yes. Better wear orange.
Wait, so what are you saying, Kevin? Like, sorry.
Okay, so the first we find the detectives go down in a room, and it's a guy stuck in a thing full of jigs of razor wire.
Was he a great big fat person?
We find out that the reason Jigsaw did this was because this guy tried to commit suicide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So like, it is like that 4chan culture of like going after somebody like, oh, you didn't like, oh, you committed suicide. You don't like your life. Well, then you should be dead. Then you deserve to die.
Well, because it's also that, but also he's got like terminal brain cancer is the other thing or whatever the fuck.
But that's Jigsaw, not the guy in this first one.
Yes.
Yeah, Jigsaw himself. Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. But that's right, like, okay, that's his whole thing is like, oh yeah, you don't know how good you have it. I'm gonna fucking die, and you just want to commit suicide.
Like, you know, but this guy, because this is like kind of like a flashback we do see, because Cary Elwes was suspected in this crime because he, like, a pen of his was something left at the scene. A pen light.
Yes.
And that guy wanted to kill himself, and he's in this razor wire thing. Yeah. And if he could crawl out through the razor wire to try to live, or he could stay there and die. I think it's a gas.
He's always using gas.
You know what? If I was in a Jigsaw thing, I'm just standing still until I die. Because it seems like the easiest way to die, you know, like...
Yeah, I'll just fall asleep quietly.
Gas or whatever. Eventually, this guy will get upset and electrocute me or shoot me in the head, and that's fine by me.
Yeah, I also feel... Exactly, that's the move. It's like, yeah, man, whatever. And also, like, if you look at the structure of the movie, which is, you know, Lee Wannell and Cary Elwes in this thing, like... This movie could easily not happen because so much hinges on like Lee Wannell getting the tape recorder. Like he has to like take his shirt off and then put like the bathtub thing. I wouldn't have got that. I would have been like, hey man, what's your story?
Yep.
You're sitting in there for like 2 days and then just on the PA. Would you maybe like to check out the tub? There might be a clue in the tub.
Dude, that's kind of like when you're like you get fucked over on a video game and it's just you're standing there and some like NPC comes over and is like, hey, why don't you check out behind that painting?
Exactly.
Steve, this is your fifth extension.
Did you get the key from the village? You know, maybe if you go back to the village, you might find the key.
You know, that dead guy in the center looks really interesting. Maybe you should check his person. He might have some pieces of interest for you.
You don't have enough money for this bow and arrow. Maybe you should check the forest for the money for the arrow.
And that's what I love, too, actually, because the dude in the command center is Michael Emerson from Lost, and he just be like on that microphone all annoyed just like, why don't you check his pocket? Check it. Check the, how about the pocket?
Christ. No, use the fuck. Oh no, he lost it. Jigsaw, he lost the hook on the bathtub. I don't know.
The stopper in the bath, the thing that clogs the thing to make the water right.
All right, we'll put a new hook in the room. Just give us 20 minutes.
Everybody close your eyes.
Well, the funny thing, I like to imagine, because the first shot of the movie is Lee Wannell waking up in a bathtub.
Which, what is the logistics
for
this?
Well, I feel like Jigsaw like gently places him in a tub and like kisses him on the head and he's like...
Do well, my baby.
And he puts him in a bathtub and he wakes up, he freaks out. That's the only way that works, right? Like,
yeah. Otherwise, you're drowning, right?
Well, it's just weird, right? Because,
and what
like,
is Cary Elwes' deal? How does he not know, like, see all this happen?
Oh, because I think he's supposed to be, like, knocked unconscious or something?
Yeah, they were both knocked unconscious.
Okay. More of that famous Jigsaw gas, dude. Which,
also
by the way,
that.
I think this dude is works at a mannequin factory. Where's he getting all this lethal gas from?
I mean, you find out.
You fucking steal it from the penguins?
In the fourth one, you find out he's a famed civil engineer.
Oh, come on.
I've got a working theory.
Who works at a mannequin factory?
No.
Oh.
Jigsaw, in this movie, we come to find out all these traits about him, those are among them, but you know, the gadgets. He likes wearing wizard cloaks.
Yes.
He's got like knives up his sleeves and, you
he's
know.
He's got Baraka knives.
He does.
He's obsessed with like animal masks and like Victorian-esque puppets. He's a steampunk.
He is a steampunk.
Oh, that's steampunk. Totally right.
He totally, totally is.
He's like a Seb Gorka fucking times five.
Oh, God.
Now, Chris Cabin, you've seen more of these movies than I have. I only saw the first one. Please tell me one of them takes place on an airship.
You're going to be disappointed.
The only way you can defeat me is with this giant key.
Actually, that'd be awesome, dude, if one of these Saw sequels took place in that John Frankenheimer movie and they're on the Goodyear blimp and he's like, I'm going to crash this into the Super Bowl. You better do something about it, Danny Glover.
Well, he became the Saw killer because no monocle would fit his eyes.
Oh, that's a shame.
And there's no local top hat shops.
There's no local haberdashery? That's a real problem. Also, big problem for me with this movie, we're taking place in a fake city.
Are we really?
Yeah, because at one point
it's
they look
Seven City. Come on.
It is. Like they look at a map and it just says Mid City. Fuck you. Set it somewhere. Yeah.
Welcome to SteamCon at Mid City. Were you there?
Now, I might have missed that Mid City detail, but I did watch this movie. I want to reassure listeners because in this sequence, both actors, Cary Elwes and Lee
Adam, we'll call him.
Yeah. The actors and the characters in this scene, when they're talking to each other, they are breathing.
It's true.
Yeah. At least for now. We never know where the game's going to take us.
Lee Wannell, I should also say, so he wrote this movie. He's clearly a better writer than an actor. Sure. I really like most of that Insidious franchise.
Yes.
And he directed the third Insidious movie as well. And he plays like one of the bit characters in it.
He's one of like the buster, one of the people who can touch the ghosts.
You know what's my favorite Lee
Wannell? I know what you're going for.
Say it on three. Say it on one. One, two, three.
The Bye Bye Man.
Oh, he's great in The Bye Bye Man.
Oh, is he in The Bye Bye Man?
Yeah, he's like the guy at the start, right?
Yes, that's he is. Just like,
oh, is he the guy from the start?
He's not the titular Bye Bye Man?
No, he's like this dude. He's like a victim of The Bye Bye Man in like the 50s or 60s, and he's just like going crazy. He's just like, The Bye Bye Man, man.
That's a stray tune.
Oh, shit. Wait, so who's playing The Bye Bye Man? Danny Glover?
Doug Jones. Our good friend, Dougie Jones. Dougie Jones.
Coffee. Coffee, bye-bye coffee.
So,
Jerry, bye coffee.
I don't know. The bye-bye. Does he talk like that?
No, he doesn't talk.
Nothing at all? Dude. No. Not a word?
It's the worst, like, conceived villain you'll ever see.
Well, isn't it just a ripoff of Slender Man?
Kind of, sort of.
But there's zero explanation.
And there's more cloaks.
Also, Jigsaw in this fucking cloak, man, he looks like he's about to get into a fucking boxing ring.
He does look like Daredevil's dad wearing a pig mask. He looks like battling Jack Murdoch. It's just too much shit, man.
There's a lot. The pig face mask is one step too far.
So we wake up and, you know, we're trying to figure it out. Ironically enough, the first thing you see is Adam's key actually go down the drain.
Right. But this movie's so like murky and grainy because it is shot on film, so you can't even fucking tell what the hell you're looking at.
There's a lot of who are you for like a long time. And apparently Jigsaw is like, here's my thing. This guy's got cancer.
Sure.
You know, does this movie take place like 2 hours, maybe 3 hours? There's a clock.
It goes for a literal clock in the movie. It goes for 6 hours.
It's like midnight.
He is staying still the entire time. Are you fucking kidding me?
Dude, listen.
The cramps you would have, Jigsaw.
No, but listen, dude. Like,
what if you fart? You know, you get a sneeze.
You would definitely be farting. It's just going to happen.
No. Corpses fart. Corpses fucking fart, dude.
Do they piss themselves too?
Yes.
Like randomly? They do it all at once. They do it at the start.
Now I like the imagine.
Farting does happen.
It's all this tension and like there's a fart and then all of a sudden you hear, you know, corpses fart. It's fine. I wouldn't worry about it. Corpses just gonna fart.
This is from the PA. This is the PA. You the dead people fart.
Hey,
dead people fart.
Hit play on that tape recorder again.
Click.
Corpses fart, you know.
That twist of just how he was in the room the whole time is just...
It makes no
fucking sense.
It adds nothing.
Listen, I will tell you, sitting in that theater 13 years ago,
Ooh, it's a creepy number.
When he, Lucky 13. When he stands up, I remember like
shitting yourself.
No, but I remember thinking like, fucking great twist. Fucking, you know what? Fucking great twist. Hey, you guys seeing this? You see this great twist? And watching it this time, this is only the second time now that I've ever seen it.
Did
and
it?
I was just like, ah, that doesn't really hold up. That's impractical.
You would get cramps, like you would go, oh, God, oh, man.
But he does kind of do like a stretch it out, like, oh, boy, another hard day's work at the bathroom factory.
Not one like Jimmy Leg, like a good stretch you need. Oh, come on.
See, hiding in plain sight.
Stupid.
Genius. Hey, Michael Emerson, turn the lights on. I got to go to the bathroom. You know, Michael Emerson, I don't know if they could hear me, but just turn the lights on real quick.
Do you think there were like previous games where he's just like, no, I can't do it. I can't do it.
Oh, yeah, dude. This is like version 12.
Or do you think he was like that fucking astronaut lady's wearing a diaper the whole time?
Oh, it's because she's driving across country because she kidnapped somebody?
He's probably wearing a diaper. He's more than likely wearing a diaper.
Excellent joke from the era this movie came out.
Exactly.
That's actually pretty true. But no, it doesn't matter. He can piss and shit himself at all times because, they're not paying attention to the frequency in which urine is falling out of this corpse.
I would notice. No, that guy didn't lose his... What is it, 23 grams?
Well, 21 grams.
21 grams.
Hey, that guy still got his soul. That guy still got that soul.
I mean, that place has to smell like absolute shit. Like,
that's the most unbelievable part of this movie is that Lee Wannell and Cary Elwes' characters and Jigsaw himself are not gagging this entire time. Because you just look... This movie starts out... One of the most frightening things about this movie is that disgusting toilet. Ooh, spooky toilet.
The homage to Trainspotting? God damn.
No, you know what? Just because someone sticks their arm in a shitty toilet doesn't mean it's an homage to Trainspotting.
This was the biggest... This was not the toilet, but this was the biggest bathroom I've like ever seen. I was jealous of because, the square footage.
Well, this is what's weird, though, about this bathroom. I spied a couple of urinals, but then there's just this freestanding toilet, no stall walls.
I think it's like a Japanese one where like you also can shower in there too.
Well, there's the tub. Why would you have urinals in a tub?
Yeah, so that even lends
is
more credence.
Before
to that.
They condemned CBGBs, is this what it looked like?
No, dude, this is the fucking bathroom at Mars Bar. You remember that?
Oh, well, there was more blood in that institution than there is in this place.
So, Lee Wannell gets the tape recorder through a series of events that I would never figure out. Also, by the way, great twist ending in this movie that doesn't happen. They're a gay couple in an escape room, and they're playing it like really straight the whole time. And then at the end, they're just wow, we really did it. Great job.
That
Adam.
Would be pretty awesome, dude.
It would be.
That's actually a way better twist.
Anybody ever do an escape room? I never have.
I want to so bad.
What is an escape room?
I mean, you can say it.
It's just basically you go. They have them all throughout the city. I'm sure they have them all throughout the country where you basically go inside of a room. They make up a puzzle and a game for you to figure your way out of a room.
And what if you never figure it out?
Oh, they shoot you in the head.
Yes. No, lost it's a like, lot of friends that way.
I mean, it's big with like birthday parties, and then like offices do them as like team building exercises and shit. I think the big. I don't know if it's a chain, but like in the city, they call it like Escape the Room.
Oh, it's
or something
a,
like
a chain. They chain you, right?
Yeah, no. I think there's actually a Saw cosplay one that you can do.
Maybe Jigsaw isn't dead in the third one, Chris. Maybe he's like, you know, I could franchise this. Everybody's fucking knocking me off, man. I got to get my own out there.
Maybe people would like to have fun after going to TGI Fridays. Maybe it's your 30th birthday and you're not really a strip club kind of a guy, you know? Maybe you want to have a little adventure.
Maybe you want to have a strip club adventure and an escape the room adventure.
But yeah, like it's one of those things, one of these movies where like they're, what's that like April Fool's Day is kind of that where we're all playing, it's like a fake thing, like everyone's acting and then at the end you realize they've been acting the whole time.
Like, right.
The game.
Yeah. The game, exactly. The game.
So, yes.
Yeah, actually that's what's kind of funny. Like if Saw was just like a really low rent version of the game.
Yeah.
Something like the lower middle class could participate in.
Man, imagine if Saw was just a low rent David Fincher movie. That would be. I can't even close my eyes and imagine that.
Let me tell you, the fucking filters on this movie, especially when we get into whenever there's police work happening. So it's Danny Glover and
Ken Lung,
also from Lost, by the way.
And Dina Meyer, or is she in the second one?
No, Dina Meyer is in this. She kind of comes to nothing. She's just like there sometimes.
But that character, I think, does come back in the sequel.
Oh, she's
in a bigger...
She's in all of them up until fourth.
But What the hell was it? Oh, so whenever we're policing in this movie, there's like this disgusting green filter on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can keep it. You can just keep it.
And it's just like, it's so Seven. Like the whole thing, it's this guy, he's preaching, he's punishing, blah, blah, blah.
There's even a fat guy that gets murdered.
There's that fat guy in the room full of barbed wire. He's the first one. And also another thing that doesn't really come to anything is that Jigsaw actually cuts out Jigsaw pieces of flesh from people.
What are we doing?
Why doesn't he do that at the end? Like, oh, shit, wait, hold on. Let me stay there, Adam. Hold on.
Yeah, exactly.
I gotta put my whole John Hancock on here.
I thought he was called Jigsaw because at the end it turns out, like, it's not the dude you think it is the whole movie. Like, he's got multiple people doing this stuff to each other.
Well, what does that have to do with being Jigsaw?
That's like a puzzle.
A puzzle box.
Yeah.
Well, may I bring up one point of this movie that drives me absolutely insane?
Okay, every minute.
How he posits that, I'm not murdering these people. They killed themselves.
Oh, right. Yeah, like even someone else says that.
No, that's point. Yeah. Jigsaw doesn't say that
it
in
was
the first
Danny
movie.
Glover, maybe?
I think it's Ken Long. One of them is like technically he's making people commit suicide,
which is complete nonsense.
No, because you're giving them a situation where you'll either die or die even worse. So you're killing this person.
If you put somebody in a room and pump poisonous gas into the room, you are killing them. That's the fucking end of it.
I think Sean Spicer would argue you on that, but okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was a killing center.
I kind of imagine. For me, it would be like I'd be at a pizza place and I'd order 3 slices of pizza and Jigsaw would be like, now, Steven, one of these slices, the third slice is poison. Can you eat just 2 slices of pizza?
No, you can eat any 2 slices, but the third one of any kind will be too far.
Now that would be then I would be killing myself because I would that's me testing myself.
Right, yeah, exactly.
The first 2 are cheese. The last one has pepperoni.
Oh, yeah. I'm as good as dead.
So, we followed Danny Glover for a while because basically, like, Cary Elwes is like, oh, I think I know who this guy is.
Right.
And, like, Cary Elwes is actually, like, the first suspect in one of these. We also watch the reverse bear trap scene, which is kind of the most famous one of these.
Yes.
That's sold it for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about inventive deaths.
Sure.
So, like, that I was like, okay, I haven't seen anything like that before. Fuck
sure.
It.
And again, it's a situation where he puts his reverse bear trap on this lady's head, reverse bear trap, and is going to apply it, burst her head if she doesn't, like, figure her way out of it. And she has to cut what she thinks is a dead body. There's a key inside of it.
Right.
But then the guy starts moving, and it's like, oh, man, she killed this dude. It's like, well, then you know.
Well, did you notice, by the way, that when they're in the flashback, like, showing this woman being questioned, like, she's wearing a visitor badge. So she was not brought up on any charges for murdering.
No, she's fine.
And she's played by Shawnee Smith.
Yes.
Who everyone knows from Becker. Remember the...
I was going to say everybody knows from Who's Harry Crumb.
No, the sitcom Becker.
Oh, she's on Becker? Okay.
She was on like every episode. She was like the Becker's right-hand lady.
Oh, really?
Was she like the funny lady on that show?
Yeah, she was like administrating The Office, I think.
Yeah, she was a bit... Yeah,
she was no Bob, but she was pretty good.
I was watching the most recent episode of The New Curb, which has been awesome, by the way.
Uh-huh.
And Ted Danson's getting like bullied by some dude in like a road rage thing. And he's like, hey, don't you recognize me? I'm Ted Danson. And he uses Becker first.
Yeah.
He's like, come on, you know me from Becker. And then the dude like gets in the car and then he pulls the Cheers card.
That's pretty funny.
Cheers first, man. Come on.
You always got to go Cheers first.
Becker.
Becker, so made in America, then Cheers.
So, like, she actually gets through this. She's, like, one of the only people that ever makes it through Jigsaw's machinations. And apparently she was a drug addict, and then, like, Jigsaw, like, cured it. I mean, I feel
he's,
like...
He's doing good. He's doing good.
I feel like if I killed someone, I would be more apt to do more drugs.
Oh, of course you would.
Night.
You're going right back.
Of course you would. And also, this is the rudest Danny Glover ever gets in this movie, because... You like, first of all, Cary Elwes is cleared on all suspicions, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danny Glover's like, hey, will you hang around? We want you to see something. And this makes no sense because Cary Elwes is just a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
He has no ability to like weigh in on this case at all.
I think that because Danny Glover thinks it's Cary Elwes the whole time, no matter what.
Oh, is that what it is? Well, so he makes him watch this interrogation, and Danny Elwes, my God in heaven, Danny Glover goes.
Danny Elfman.
That's, I guess, what I'm getting mixed up about.
Cary Glover.
Cary Glover, of course. He goes into this interrogation room, and he goes, you are, in fact, a drug addict.
Come on.
What? Also, when this woman's trying to get the fucking bear trap thing off her head,
yeah.
Did you guys notice the smattering of lion roar sounds are going in?
Ugh. It's that. There's like it's like
the frenzy effect that he does.
It's like bad Nine Inch Nails music also.
Yes. Oh, there is so much fart metal in this, man. Fart industrial.
Probably fart some Fear Factory, actually.
What?
Probably some Fear Factory, actually.
Oh, you don't have Fear Factory money, man.
No, they definitely do, dude. Because
wait, they got Fear Factory money?
The song at the end credits is a Fear Factory, too.
Oh, is it?
It 100% is. That sucks.
Fart Factory.
More like Fart Factory.
Oh, God, I'm a real Fart Factory today. Why today, when I have to spend 6 hours still, did I have to have those beans? Hot dogs and beans, Jigsaw.
Crap. Want to play a game?
Hurry up. Do you want to or not? God, I got to do it. I'll be back in 20 minutes. You decide if you want to play a game. I'll be right back.
I'll hear it from the other room.
You know what it takes way too long to get to in this movie? This fucking puppet.
What's with the puppet?
Who cares? Why even have a puppet?
Just use a PA system. The puppet is way too much. Mm-hmm. Like, the pig mask is way, way too much. The puppet is too much.
Well, let me tell you, when you get to the fourth one, there's huge symbolic importance to both the fucking toy and the pig mask.
There was way too much of a pause there, Kevin, and I thought you were talking about the symbolic nature of the fucking, and I was like, what fucking? Did I miss the fucking?
There's welcome no fucking
to the, welcome to the fuck room. You're going to give each other STDs.
Want to play a sex game?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's...
Spin the bottle.
Tickle time.
Well, this is basically the scene from Seven, like over and over and over again. He made me fuck her. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
sure.
That's definitely... That might have been Jigsaw. That might have been unrelated.
Unrelated.
Kevin Spacey was set up.
He's Michael Massey in Seven. Everyone comes in with a package under their arm.
John Doe didn't do this one. That's our bad.
I'm just a patsy.
Well, I met my old friend Danny Glover at the Older African American Cop Conference, and oddly enough, we both have religious themed. Serial killers that like to make puzzles out of people. Who would have guessed?
Yeah, what are the odds, actually? It's almost like the people who wrote one movie watched another movie a lot.
Yeah.
Many times. Many, many times.
I just don't know with this puppet, man. Like, the puppet is twofold. If you want the puppet in, like, the video segments of your thing, fine. But then, like, when you beat the game and the puppet makes a personal appearance on the tricycle, that's a bit too much. Because, listen, one of, like, the greatest secrets in movie history is how the Henson people made Kermit and Miss Piggy do the tandem bicycle in Muppets Take Manhattan, mm-hmm. and something like nobody wants to know because it's like magic. Right.
And they were put in a room together and they had to fuck or murder each other.
But listen, these are like movie professionals that make that scene in Muppets Take Manhattan. This is a dude who lives in a mannequin factory, and this fucking puppet like just fucking cycles out on this tricycle and it's talking.
Yeah.
It's way too much.
It shows you that James Wan understands the horror audience. Like, you have to have an iconic image, iconic,
but you can't have two. They're up against each other. You either get Pig Mask or you get the Jigsaw puppet.
The Jigsaw puppet was way bigger than the Pig Mask.
Or you're jumping Jack Murdoch. I mean, I don't know. You get that fucking boxing bathrobe out of here.
First of all, that's the best one. Just the fucking wizard cloak boxing robe. Or I would then go Pig Mask. Very bottom, I would say. You know what I would put above that fucking doll is the titular saw. When they bring out the saw and it's just like, oh no, these won't work on the chains. He wants us to saw our legs.
You just take a Sharpie and put eyes and a mouth on the saw.
Yeah, it's like Clippy.
Let me tell you, the puppet was the thing that was making the posters, but these movies have some of the worst fucking posters, man, because it's all just fucking fingers and teeth and
fingernails and whatever else. It's like, oh, it's pretty gross, you guys.
It's bad. It's bad. It's real bad.
But just, yeah, the puppet, it's just, and here's how you make the puppet relevant. We were talking about this off the air. Jigsaw dies in this first movie, right? Sequel is the spirit of this man goes inside the puppet. And then the puppet's walking around doing stuff.
I would love a Supernatural. Jigsaw 2, Supernatural puppet. He does live at the end of this film.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you kill him. Yeah, exactly.
you kill him at the end. You see, and the twist ending is the puppet wakes up and just goes, "Want to play a game?"
Well,
and then gets up and starts dancing through the credits.
I would have to say that would make it better because the one of the biggest issues is how self serious these movies are.
Oh, huge,
super grim.
Haunted PA system instead.
Yes,
I prefer. I'm trapped in this. In this speaker,
like Ghost in the Machine type situation.
Oh, don't throw out the speaker. Oh, you wouldn't like that. Oh, good. I've been bought by a roller rink. I guess I'm. Oh, now it went out of business. Now I'm sitting in a thrift store for 10 years.
That's what it is,
dude.
I'm
a homeless man's toilet.
It's
again.
It's kind of like. The Hellraiser movies, people just keep coming across the puzzle box, right?
Yeah.
People just keep handing down this PA system to different venues.
Well, it's the Jewish recreational center.
Saw 4 haunted JCC.
Absolutely, that'd be great.
That would be pretty.
Want to step on a glass? Uh-oh.
Not
what you expected.
Want to become a man?
Oh my God, him Jigsaw conducting a bris, maybe?
Yes!
Want to trim a dick?
Oh,
awful.
So, yeah, so basically, like, Adam, who is Lee Wannell, who is supposed to be the comic relief character, he's
don't
got a lot of
it.
One-liners. And, like, just hire any working actor to put to fill in here. Like, any, there's got a lot of people from Lost or whatever, just anybody.
Because I get it. You're so excited, man. Mm-hmm. Like, you wrote this script. You guys did the short, and I'm sure he acted in the short.
Because
so that's
that makes
what
sense.
This was.
Yes.
You got to get somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You can do the bit parts in Insidious because you have like 2 lines a film and it's fine.
Also, you know what? Switch him with Michael Emerson, who has a really small role. Like, if Michael Emerson is Adam and he just happens to be this Zap Cochran, whatever this
that fucking name.
Oh, wait, dude, and it's Michael Emerson as Zephram Cochran.
Or is it Zep something?
I think it's just Zep.
It's Zep something. They do say his last name.
He has, he has a name, but everybody at the hospital just calls him Zep.
Zep. And Hello Zep apparently is the theme to the Saw movies.
Yeah.
Like, that was the name of the track of the first soundtrack.
Oh, Jesus.
What? What song?
The song at the end.
It's not the Fear Factory. It's just like a score they made for this movie.
Oh.
And it's just that track is called Hello Zep.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
So, Zep works at Carrie Elwes' hospital. Who's played by Michael Emerson, and like Michael Emerson is like kind of, it's kind of shitty because he's like, oh man, that Jigsaw's a really, like, he's like Cary Elwes is like crassly going over his Jigsaw's case, and he's like, he's a really nice guy, you know, if you get to sit down and talk with him.
His name is Bob.
It was John.
John.
Oh yeah.
John and, Kramer.
You're just watching these sequels, Kevin.
I have, man. I'm in a state of psychosis at this point.
Cary Elwes was referring to him as like, oh, the patient is exhibiting this and that and that, and it's like, hey, his name's John.
No, but you know what? Cary Elwes is of course making the right move because he can't get close to these people.
Yes, exactly. And he's got a bunch of like med students. Like, he's teaching people. He can't just be like, oh, this is, you know, John Fruitadoo.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, who gives a shit?
You gotta train these people to be heartless fucks that don't give a shit insurance or get out of here. Like, you have to train them to do that.
Well,
early on.
It goes back to the fucking this old resentful fuck, like being rude as a crime. Like that's what fucking he was.
Right. Oh, you didn't say yes. You should say hello to me at the grocery store.
The asshole with the code on the wall and the light and the candle thing.
Oh, right.
That guy just called in sick to work.
Is that what his crime was?
He's like, you pretended like you were sick, but you weren't. That's literally it. That's literally it.
I don't think it was calling into work. I think it was like faking. Like, maybe it was like a George Costanza pretending you needed that cane kind of a thing.
Oh, but then he should definitely have been executed. Like, what the fuck? Who cares?
I'm just saying it wasn't him playing hooky that got him wrapped up in the Jigsaw situation.
I saw you carrying that rascal scooter. You claimed that you needed it to get around.
You brought that shopping cart home. Now you use it for your own personal use.
Now I put you inside of a shopping cart. Figure it out.
you took a penny, and then the next day, you went back to that bodega, and you didn't leave a penny.
So now I'm stuffing pennies up your ass.
I guarantee you, I know, you know, Jigsaw comes out this weekend, I guarantee you there's something about millennials and their cell. It's like,
oh, the kids these days. I tried to have lunch with my grandson. He spent the whole time looking at his darn phone. You bought a $9 cup of coffee. Better rip your face off. You were virtue signaling. That's enough.
What is that?
That's like pretending like you care about something to get to be popularized.
Mm-hmm. Virtue signaling?
Like, yeah, that you've done something, like showing that you have virtue.
Right. Whenever you say RIP someone. Right?
Yeah.
But not RIPD, because we're always using that, like, you know, sarcastically.
No, we're not virtue signaling.
Like RIPD no. Jigsaw.
Well, what's the opposite of virtue? I think that's us.
Vice.
Yeah. Ooh.
Ooh.
Vice signaling. That's what we're doing every week.
Good one. So, hey, speaking of bad lines, just because you were saying like Lee Wannell's got a lot of them.
He does.
Way back, just because Cary Elwes is like, hey, I'm Dr. Lawrence Gordon, blah, blah, blah. What's your name? And to which Lee Wannell responds, my name is very fucking confused, and that's something I want to talk about. This movie, Eric pointed out, the script was written in 2001. Uh-huh. This is still, it's a very overwritten, talky-talk, snappy, clever-as-fuck screenplay.
Oh, absolutely.
Man, it just reminds you how much garbage 90s independent cinema there was.
He has some long diatribe about some, like, vegan that he was dating and so
it's
on.
It's a feminist vegan... fuck, there was like a third one, I think.
Yeah, and then like blah, 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 she broke up with him.
Environmentalists, probably. Yeah,
oh, wait, feminist vegan punk. I was dating this feminist vegan punk, and I think I also may have accidentally written and directed that Free Enterprise movie.
Accidentally.
Don't I seem like a character or something?
Yeah, so Danny Glover is...
Oh, right.
Danny Glover is obsessively like looking at the Jigsaw tape that he has. This is one of my favorite details in this movie. This is how he cracks the case the first time.
Wide open.
It's him, and he's like Ken Lung's like, hey, man, why don't you go out for a beer with the guy? He's like, one second, man, one second. And then he looks. He's like, do you see that piece of graffiti? Is that K2K gang? And he's like, oh, my God, it is. They only control 4 blocks of territory in this town. What a bunch. To quote Wario, which I often do, what a bunch of losers.
Come on. A 4-block territory?
What are they, the orphans and the warriors?
Yeah, really. Just like one of the loser gangs in the Warriors, man. You, all of those dudes couldn't be top dogs. There had to be some losers.
Oh, there were losers.
The K2K gang, man. Yeah. They're just like, we go to 1st Street to 5th Street, and that is it. You will not catch me dead on 6th Street.
From my fucking mom's house to my uncle's.
One of the like properties that the K2K gang apparently occupied was this mannequin factory.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Well, that's how they figure out what the fuck was going on.
Maybe Jigsaw came and was like, hey, do you want to break into a 5th block? I could take over one of those gangs for you. Wait, I have to do an initiation? Well, can I just lay on the ground while it happens?
I have to do what with the pickle? I have to pick it up with my... What? Oh, get the fuck out of here.
I'm a very sick man.
So yeah, Danny Glover figures out where this thing is. They go there. They find, speaking of Seinfeld, they find the guy... The fatigues guy. He's like strapped to a chair, and he's got 2 drills in his head. They're like going through Jigsaw's like workshop, and I kind of feel like Jigsaw comes out and he's like, no, don't judge that. It's not done yet. It's not finished.
You're fucking with a prototype.
Can't judge something that's not finished. It's not fair.
Work in progress. Rough draft.
Oh, no, that's not what the finished new pig mask is going to look like. Oh, I'm so embarrassed.
That's a temp. It's temp score.
Wasn't supposed to debut this in front of the police for another week.
The police.
But honestly, what do you think? Honest opinion on the pig head.
Constructive criticism.
I just, you know, I, it's not done yet. I just want to, you know,
A lot of rough ideas.
Danny Glover's like, I think you're a sick asshole.
He says asshole so many times, and it's hilarious.
I gotta fight you on this, dude.
It's because not funny?
You texted about that, yeah. And I was like, I'm the last to rewatch it. Unless I'm crazy, I counted one actual asshole.
No, he's calling you sick asshole. He says like six times. Maybe I'm crazy.
I wasn't all on right. a count.
Right. I did not know to look out for assholes.
I was on my toes, and I only spied one asshole. I don't know.
All right.
I mean, it is very memorable. I even remember that one.
Cabin, you got to get the asshole count, man. You should rewind
it. I'm going back to this.
Back.
Dude, Cabin, your piece is going to live and die by the asshole count.
Exactly. But stop. What movie are you up to?
Four.
Okay, you're going to watch four now. Or you watched four?
I watched four.
So five yes. and on.
You still have three movies to watch. Yes. Are you going to see this new one in theaters before you publish the piece?
Probably. Well, I mean, if it's... I'm publishing it the week that Jigsaw comes out.
Could you get the asshole count in the last three that you have yet to watch?
I can get an asshole count.
I want
you
to stop your article dead and list how many times people say asshole.
Okay, I will. I will be sure to do that.
One of the details in this scene is they come across like... a little diorama of the Saw movie, and it's so bad because it's not even to scale. It's like three Ken dolls in a shoebox,
dude.
Like, what are you gaining from this?
It's Saw Junior, dude. It was his little kid who was making little models.
I think you should be the M&M, metallic swink.
No, I'm going to get bigger drills eventually for this.
Right, so this guy's got, like, the drills going down into his head.
Yeah, and, like,
Ned Bellamy is the guy's name.
So, like, Jigsaw, they find this guy, and then they realize Jigsaw's coming home from work or whatever, and they're like, they could stop him right there, but Danny Glover, for some reason, is like, I want to see what he does. And I'm like,
so
what do you
stupid.
Need?
There are so many people in this movie that are just, they like holding guns. They don't ever fucking shoot one. Just like, shoot him in the gut, let him bleed out. He can still tell you shit.
Yeah.
So Ken Lung, he gets obsessed or like frustrated with like trying to figure out however it is you stop this thing. So he just shoots these two drills.
Yeah.
And in the fracas, Jigsaw like lets loose this fucking Baraka knife and cuts Danny Glover's throat.
Man, how could that voice get any raspier? That's my question.
And then there's like kind of a chase thing, and Ken Lung's like running after him, and this is kind of the best death in the movie.
Oh, absolutely. Big time.
Easily.
And it's just home security. It's not even like it's not part of my trap.
Dude, this is just like some fucking redneck's house in Florida.
The shotgun shower.
Yeah. It's like
it's like a cobweb of shotguns.
Yeah, because it's actually kind of a smart thing, right? Because he's got like the tripwire, but then there's a bunch of cobwebs. And isn't there another tripwire in the cobwebs?
I think
yes.
so.
Because he's like trying to get through these. He's like, ew, spiders. And he pulls the thing down and nine shotguns take this dude's head off.
It's great. I mean, honestly, though, Jigsaw, like, you better not be getting drunk. Like, I got really wasted. Wait, which is the shotgun hallway?
Well, that was my question. He comes in with the robe on.
The robe and pig mask.
Was he driving like that?
That's a great question.
Or was he stopping when he got out of his car to put on the rope and the big mask?
Wait. Does Cary always work in the Seinfeld hospital where Kramer sees the pig man?
The pig man.
It's very possible.
I think this is a connected universe.
It is. And Tobin Bell was in Seinfeld.
That's right.
He played what did you say?
The episode is The Old Man, and it's when Kramer and Newman take the old guy's records and try to sell them at this record store.
You're not the better piece of crap.
Him, right?
Yeah. I think he's supposed to be like a Bleaker Bob type guy.
Yeah.
I can give you $5 for that. I'll give you $5.
So he does get away. Danny Glover becomes obsessed. We also cut back to Monica Potter, who happens to be in this movie. By the way, great female characters in this movie. Really strong.
Oh, really good.
Oh, no. They're just totally kidnapped the entire time. It's Monica Potter and his angelic baby daughter, who is dressed like she's fucking on Little House on the Prairie for this whole goddamn movie.
Dude, I thought it was a ghost from The Others.
Like, come on.
I thought it was the Waltons.
It's her. She's like trying to go to sleep. She's like, I think there's a guy in my room. And by the way, parents, I know that this happens mm-hmm. a lot. I think there's somebody in my room. You always have to do, it's kind of a double-edged sword, right? You do the fake, like, I'm checking the closet. No right. monsters in the closet.
Yeah.
It's a two-pronged thing. One, you're assuring the kid. And also, two, you're like, just in case yes. Michael Emerson is in my closet
exactly.
right now, I will check the
not
closet.
Not only creeps, but demons and other sorts. Of, like,
and Michael
children
Emerson.
Are natural prey for not only demons, but aliens and mm-hmm. all types
the bye-bye
of
man.
Of, yeah, the bye-bye man,
exactly.
of course.
Exactly. You know, Frederick Krueger.
That's why, dude, I mean, kids fucking freak me out, man. Mm-hmm. But if I was, like, sleeping and a kid came into my room and was like, hey, there's a man in my room.
Mm-hmm. Did the man send you and you killed a kid?
I would not laugh it off as like, oh, whatever, yeah. kid, just go back to bed. I would furiously shit my pants.
You would be like Homer Simpson, like, kids, I don't want to worry. There might be a boogeyman or boogeymen in the house.
Exactly, dude. It would cut to me with the kid behind a table in the bedroom with a shotgun. The mattress is up on its end.
I just imagine the Double Tree Inn every night being like, oh, there's Andrew again. Andrew and the two kids. Okay, yep. That's it. We'll give you the night rate, buddy.
It just would.
There's
would
a bear in my house.
Yeah, it would what? Fucking freak me out.
Why don't you just buy a Louisville Slugger?
Yeah, yes. You could take down Michael Emerson with a baseball bat. Yeah. Not Fred Krueger, though.
So, yeah, like, Carrie Always is like, oh, there's no one in your room. Oh, I'm American. No, there's no one in your room.
he's trying his best.
And he looks around. He does not look in the closet where Michael Emerson is. And as he's leaving, Monica Potter is like, hi, I'm a character in this movie. He's like, oh, hey, how's it going?
We're having issues. Hi.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess we're having marital issues or something. Yeah, who gives a shit?
I guess that's why he's kidnapped initially, is because he was having an affair
he was
with a med
thinking
student.
Thinking about having... He didn't... I don't know.
Really?
Actually,
there was fucking.
Was it definitely?
It was because he was going to break it off is what it was.
That's why he was so apprehensive about telling his alibi to the police. Is
right.
Because he didn't want to cause marital issues, well, which obviously...
10 years ago on a cold, dark night. It's that song.
Well, I don't know.
Long Black Veil?
No.
Please, yeah, I'm not familiar.
The song is about...
Sing the whole
are
thing.
Are you fucking
sing
kidding me?
Sing the whole fucking song.
Say the fucking word. The song is about a dude
you're
who's
sing
accused,
the song.
He's accused of murder, and he could easily get off if he just tells the police that at the time of this murder, he was in the arms of his best friend's wife.
I mean, that's honestly, I've watched enough murder documentaries and whatever. Your best case scenario is you've had an affair. That's a great. It's yes. like, oh, that's perfect. I was totally fucking somebody else.
Yes, exactly.
By the way, you just said that. I think I know where this bathroom is. It's the same warehouse and Reservoir Dogs. Like, oh, that's Mr. Orange is bleeding out two fucking doors down.
There was an ear on the floor for some reason.
Ah, man. So yeah, Danny Glover is like a man obsessed. This is a weird thing because like the timing of all of this stuff in this movie is so obnoxious. We're jumping all over the place.
Who cares?
You kind of assume, at least I did, that like Danny Glover was dead at that throat cut.
Yes.
And then it cuts to the present day, and there's Danny Glover. He's like camping out across the street from Carrie Elway's apartment.
Mm-hmm. He's gone.
And he's got like a scar across his throat. And you're like, all right, so I guess now this is present day Danny Glover.
Gone
and he's
full shuttered windows.
Yeah.
He's got a plastered like all the killings Jigsaw has done on his wall.
Right. Which, I mean, shit, man. Jigsaw,
a lot.
For the amount of like work and theatricality you have to put into a Jigsaw game, this dude is so fucking prolific.
Oh, yeah, well, man.
That's why I actually, the only thing that's good about it, we finding out that he was a famous civic engineer is because you would need cash to do all of this shit.
I just won the lottery. I guess I can kill a bunch of people.
Yeah, man. I mean, Son of Sam just walked around with a gun and fucking talked to dogs. You could do that on a mailman's salary.
And that's not what real men do. Real men build murder toys. And like
murder diorama. What is the plural of diorama?
Shut up, it's a toy.
That diorama is pretty poor though. Mm. It's a oh wait, I'm sorry, hang on a second. So this first movie, we see that fucking diorama, and then you're telling me the sequels posit he was a civil engineer? I don't think so. That shit is not adding up, dude. Did you see this thing?
Not just a civil...
It looks like Celebrity Deathmatch.
A famed engineer, like Time Magazine would put
Whoa,
this guy
really?
In.
Whoa,
yeah,
really?
Something like
is
that.
Is Time Magazine still doing that? I mean, they got bigger
no.
fish
no,
to fry.
No, not these days, they, but yeah, back in 2004, who knows?
Yeah, they. I guess in movies, they used to act like Time Magazine used to care about, you know, people who accomplish things and whatnot. Now it's just movie stars mm-hmm. and politicians who were movie stars and
movie stars who might become politicians.
It's a vicious
politicians
cycle.
Who used to be shitty movie producers who now have liver spots all over their face.
So yeah.
Oh, there's a cell phone in that bathroom.
They find yeah, to, there's a lot yes. of like, you know, who can you trust thing, like. And I feel like I would, if I'm locked in a bathroom with some guy, I'm telling him everything.
You have to. Yeah. I mean, what do you have to lose?
Mm-hmm. And like, there's a cell phone that Cary Elwes deduces is only made for incoming calls? Question mark.
Well, because I guess he tries to open it, it doesn't work. Yeah. I guess. But yeah, I don't know. Is that a thing?
Is that a thing? It was a Nextel.
Well,
it was,
magic is a thing.
Well,
so.
It's 2004, so I don't know. It might have been useful shit. For drug trade.
It would be cool if he just had one of those little Nextel chirps.
Mm-hmm.
Man, remember those?
Those were obnoxious.
All Why right. bother making a phone call when you can use a fucking cellular walkie-talkie? Obnoxious.
That was so fucking stupid.
Oh, obnoxious. Mm-hmm. All the time with those things.
And it was like before text messaging, so people would be like, yo, what's going on? Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, I'm at the other KFC.
Exactly.
The good one.
Well, no, it was always drug dealers, so I was like, yeah, what's up? No, I don't have anything. So, all right, cool.
There's also, what is the bit with like a fake poison? Oh, they try to fake out Jigsaw at this point with like a cigarette
right.
that's poisoned.
They think that like his blood, the what would turn out to be Jigsaw's corpse, they think it's like there's cyanide in the blood or yeah. whatever, so that oh, like this is part of the thing, like because Jigsaw says like, oh, you don't have to shoot him to kill him, there's other ways to kill him, you know,
right?
So he thought it was a hint at like poison in the blood, and to dip the cigarette into it and then toss it.
Well,
to
he
him?
Swap. He swaps them out.
Right, it's a fake out.
Oh, there was a cigarette swap.
Yeah,
oh, I missed that.
Well, because Adam, first and foremost, Adam sees cigarettes. He's like, "Oh, cool!" And I'm like, "Are you kidding me, dude?"
No way.
Cary Elwes says that he's like, "You're gonna put something in your mouth that was in this bathroom," yeah, and it's no. like, "Yeah, exactly." But I guess it's this movie commenting on the addiction powers of nicotine.
That's one of the reasons you're in here, buddy.
I mean,
smoking.
Honestly, ma'am, I'm about to hack off my foot. Give me the cigarettes.
That's a good call.
And what is the deal? So Adam's flashback is he's like a little shutterbug who gets hired by Danny Glover to take pictures of Cary Elwes because Danny
Candid
Glover
pics,
is
man.
That fucking obsessed with him.
Because he really thinks that he's the Jigsaw killer. For some, like, it's the first and only lead that you had, so I guess that's it.
I guess so, but it's like thinking you're going to marry your first girlfriend.
And
come
he's
on.
And he's living in the Fight Club apartment for some reason. Like, it's just like this weird paper street nothing. There's
he's
like
making soap at night.
I mean, like, I don't know. Is he poor or is he not? This place is enormous, but, like, you know, the walls are, like, caving in.
Well, he's got like newspapers piling up. I think he's going south.
Oh, yeah. Really?
And, well, that's the thing, though, man. When you live on the wrong side of the tracks like that.
Oh, in mid-city?
Yeah.
Oh,
and, dude, when you live in a bad neighborhood in mid-city, you can get fucking primo real estate
that's
for
true.
Beans.
A lot of square footage out there in mid-city.
Mid-city.
It's
come
so,
on.
So dumb. Just say it's Los Angeles. No one will care.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Maybe then also, if you say it's Los Angeles, this movie can go outside for a few minutes.
That's not happening. They
get some fresh air.
It.
Oh, man.
Well, you know, T.J. Hooker has a mid-city bar, so
right.
maybe this is set in the world of T.J. Hooker.
If you got
shit.
Shatner in this movie instead of I mean, Danny Glover is great. Danny
he
Glover's
is
fantastic.
Yep.
But you get Shatner as an aging T.J. Hooker.
Oh, man, that'd be amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, he's seen it all before, but nothing like this.
Dude, that's how T.J. Hooker should go out, is getting murdered by Jigsaw.
It's him and
murder box.
Well, no, it's him and Romano gets his head blown off.
Romano gets the shotgun shower. I'll never forgive the Jigsaw killer for that. As the shotgun shower rained down on my partner, Romano.
I would love that.
Mm-hmm. I would love that. Only a scrappy 52 years old.
Neither of us have bothered to retire.
and I've not been, we've been passed over for promotion many times.
They've given me 3 gold watches. I keep showing up for work.
I can't take a hint.
We were very close. We shared Preparation H.
Oh, yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, ew.
Well, I don't know. Maybe in the murder box.
Dude, listen, if someone ever came up to me and was like, hey, man, can I borrow your Preparation H? I'd throw up.
Sergeant Hooker, are you ready to play a game? Put Preparation H on Romano's anus.
It's cyanide.
So Michael Emerson is like running around doing Jigsaw's bidding, and he has the wife played by Monica Potter and this fucking ghoulish daughter tied up to a bedpost, and the whole thing, the overall game at this point, by the way, we didn't mention this, is that Cary Elwes has to find a way to murder this dude Adam before 6 a.m. or else the family is going to be murdered is the idea.
Yeah.
Or he can cut his foot off and try to survive. Isn't that just another option?
The saw is to get the gun. You have to, because right. he can't reach the gun.
Okay.
Yeah, he has to kill this dude. There's no way that Adam can win this thing. It's a game for Cary Elwes.
By the way, they try the saws on the chains. I would fall asleep trying to saw. I would be so stupidly stubborn. Yeah. I'm like, no,
you know what they didn't
honestly,
do, though?
If you're really bothering me, I could hear the saw. It's really not going to work.
No one tries to saw the padlocks, though.
Yeah, they always do.
They're just going after these big fucking...
Or the pipes.
It was like the chains that could fucking hold the Titanic.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point, Chris. Like these rusty pipes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably I'd be sawing them. All sorts of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, I'd be,
but
yeah.
You're just... that's the laziness of this movie. You're just supposed to assume, well, he thought of everything. Mm-hmm. If he thought of the chains not being able to be stopped, clearly he thought of everything.
He must be a genius.
He must be.
Cary Elwes even says that. He's like... You have to first understand the brilliant design that you're stuck in before you can even hope to get out of it. And Jigsaw's like, oh, fuck, that was awesome.
This guy's sucking my dick.
The body's laying on the middle of the floor. It starts to rise up a little bit because of the erection pounding into this tile.
The fucking ego hard-on that this murderer gets.
This was totally worth shitting my pants for. Maybe if I just move my hand a little bit, I can jerk. No.
You have to understand, Adam, we're clearly being held hostage by a brilliant civil engineer.
Maybe if I just rub it against the tile, I can get something going.
It's a perfect Machiavellian trap. Leonardo da Vinci couldn't invent something so brilliant.
Ooh, that's what I want. Renaissance Saw. With Leonardo da Vinci doing all of his like fucking crazy bicycles made to kill you.
Flying machine, more like death machine.
Exactly, like,
you want to test some equipment? I am Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, Tobin Bell as Leonardo da Vinci. I'm fine with that.
Oh, sure.
Let's spice up this franchise.
Like he paints their picture of everyone he's murdered.
Yes.
You know, like Mona Lisa was famously like decapitated.
This is pre like...
famously decapitated.
some horrible murder contraption.
This is pre like deep backstory, mm-hmm. but I guarantee you could have fit in like, and he's the great 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 grandson of Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Look at him, that corpse is masturbating.
Adam, that does happen. They teach you that in medical school.
I'm a doctor, Adam. So the call comes through, and Cary Elwes is on the horn with his family, and Monica Potter is like, don't believe Adam's lies, which sets off like the next level of paranoia, I guess.
They saw Memento as well.
Yeah. Who the fuck is Dodd?
We get the flashback of Adam's apartment where Jigsaw is like, he puts the puppet there and like it starts doing a creepy laugh and like Adam's hitting over the thing and then like Jigsaw's in the closet with the fucking puppet mask or the
pig mask, please.
I'm not innocent here too. I'm kind of a bit of a pig. You know, I want everyone to see what a pig I am.
These are supposed to be expressive of my inner world.
My therapist says if I use this, people can see me for who I am, and you know, I can work through these these overeating issues that I have.
This apartment sequence is kind of the only really tense moment in the movie.
It's the closest thing to a jump scare or a scare.
Yeah, because like the lights are all off. He's developing photos in a dark room, and then all the lights go out, and he's walking around his huge wrong side of the tracks mid-city apartment, and he's letting the flash go off. So it's a little like Texas Chainsaw. You get the boing. You know, and he's like flashing all over the apartment, and he flashes upon that puppet, and I was like, like, ooh.
Well, that's the thing, because James Wan has a hard-on for puppets. Like, that's clear.
He
like,
made the puppet himself.
Oh, that sucks.
Because he made Dead Silence, which is a puppet movie.
That's a bad movie. That's a James Wan movie that's worse than this movie. That Dead Silence movie does not work.
Is it? I was never able to watch it because I don't fuck with puppets, man. Like, you know what?
See, here's the thing. Neither do I, and that's how bad this movie is, though. I was just kind of like, whatever.
Wait, you haven't seen Demonic Toys?
No, I'm not.
Oh, come on.
How about Doll Man?
I've not seen Doll
Man. You gotta see Doll Man.
I think I saw Doll Man with you once, and I don't remember a fucking
that
thing.
Makes sense.
That's how I watched Doll Man, actually. I was at that screening.
Dude, Doll Man is great.
What was the, what's the Anthony Hopkins puppet movie?
Magic. That movie's freaky.
I watched it recently on Shudder, and that was a shoulder shrug for me.
He did that. Then he did the in The Conjuring. There's a puppet for no reason, which now has spawned its own.
Yeah, Annabelle.
Are we watching those Annabelle movies?
I've not seen
the second one's good.
So what's that? That's so like her during the Salem witch trials.
No, it was her during the McCarthy hearings. And Annabelle.
She named names. It was horrific.
That demonic puppet sold out Elia Kazan.
Do you see Annabelle 1, Chris? Or just number 2?
I did see 1.
Is that all right?
It's fine.
And that is supposed to take place after the Conjuring movies?
I think they jump around a bit.
Because I think it's... She's like locked up in those last movies.
Oh, she's locked in that living room.
She goes to like puppet prison.
She kind of does.
Man, doll jail. That's a place I don't want to go.
Fucking doing time with Gumby.
Well, no, she's in a little fucking glass box like Hannibal Lecter at the end of that movie.
She was supposedly like their worst case, man. You'd put that behind glass, of course.
Apparently, it's inspired by a real thing. And the problem with that doll is it's too intentionally scary, like all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't like give that to a child.
You're like, oh, here you go. No, apparently the real one, the quote unquote real one, was like a Raggedy Ann doll. Like it was just like just that came to life. And
I
did
also
some weird
read
shit.
That those guys were that team were con men. But
like notorious con men.
That reminds me.
Is it too late for us to become con men? I think we'd be good.
I think we should do it.
I mean, we're pretty good at lying. Mm-hmm. I mean, Steve Sadak especially, he's the Costanza of the group. Mm-hmm.
I could wear a pig mask.
I could wear a pig mask, Mark.
I could fake the Amityville Horror Mark.
Maybe that's what he is. He's a failed prop comic. Jigsaw is a failed prop comic.
Fuck, dude. That is a horror franchise right there. A failed stand-up comedian who's just had enough, mm-hmm. and he's just murdering people in the parking lots of open mics.
This hammer represents my hopes and dreams, and your head is my fucking death. Just splat.
And the final scene takes place on this dude has rented, or it's like an abandoned warehouse,
mm-hmm.
and he turns it into a soundstage for a late night talk show.
Yeah,
and then like there's a woman like bound to a chair in like the hosting chair, and then the serial killer has to come out and do his material.
Dude, great name for that movie. Tight Five.
Ooh. Oh, shit. Yeah. Yes, dude. Yeah. Oh, you think Twisted Pictures would put it out?
Probably.
I think it's already on Shudder somehow. Like, if you search Tight Five on Shudder, it's on there somehow.
You just said it, and it's there. It's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. I had a question about... Oh, this is what I was going to say. So, speaking of that company that's rightfully burning to the ground, TWC, the Weinstein Company.
Sure.
I was going over at work, like, the movies that they have left in the pipe. One is a Benedict Cumberbatch movie that no one's going to be playing now.
Well, they pushed it.
Yeah, you know what? They can just
I don't
keep,
know if they're ever
they
going to play
keep
it.
Keep
but
pushing
they'll,
it.
They'll sell off the asset to another company. Yeah,
but there's a fucking new Amityville movie that they were going to put out.
Oh, really?
Direct to streaming, not shockingly. Yeah. I don't know if it actually like came out, or maybe it was the 20th it's supposed to come out, so we're recording
it's
this on the
18th. Probably out already. Like, they'll put it out and whatever.
Oh, no, the Polaroid.
What?
They're doing Polaroid.
No, I'm talking about an Amityville horror
movie.
Yes,
but I'm saying the TWC is also putting out a horror movie on November 22nd called Polaroid.
Well, we'll see. We'll see if they do.
We'll see if that develops.
Oh, wow, there bravo, dude.
That, see, this is why I want the rim shot thing.
So sort of towards the end of this movie, like, you know, he finds out one of the they find a bunch of pictures. Adam comes clean. Hey, I was taking pictures of you. Look, I have all these pictures, Jigs. And like again, like let's work together and figure a way out of this room.
Why
like,
would you why keep Adam's that secret? Keep,
but exactly. this is also another scenario where the wife actually then overpowers Zep and has a gun and does not fucking use it.
Yeah.
And decides to let the killer, or what we think is the killer,
sure,
overpower her and take the gun back.
Because
great.
He was about to kill. He's like, sorry, it's the rules. And like, she overpowers him because it's fucking Michael Emerson. You got him.
Yeah.
You know, like, and like, just, yeah, blast him away.
And then she's just like, oh, whoa, I'm sorry. I somehow got your gun. Here it is back. Thank you.
Or at the very least, take out his kneecaps. You know what I mean?
Yes, do something.
You don't have to shoot somebody in the head.
Because I can understand you might be worried, like, I'm not going to know where my husband is mm-hmm. if I kill this guy.
Yeah.
Shoot him in the legs, shoot him in the gut, shoot him somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a note that can be given to
you
a lot of
people. You tie up my daughter, I'm shooting you in the nuts. That's it.
Exactly. Yeah, yes. Your dick's gone. Goodbye.
Also, I came across in my notes another bad line of dialogue that comes around
not
sort of
Jigs,
this part of
not
the movie.
In Saw.
It's from Adam. Once again, Lee Wannell says something. They're arguing over Carrie Elway's like having that affair and whatnot. And he says something about like, I don't care if you covered yourself in peanut butter and had a 15 hooker gangbang.
Whatever.
Man, that's straight out of the playbook of I just watched a Quentin Tarantino movie and am now writing my own screenplay.
That's great.
So now we're at the point where there's Carrie Elway's just starts sawing his own fucking leg off.
And he is just screaming and yelling
for
and sawing this leg.
No reason.
Well, because this
he
is like
he does have my favorite line where he realizes that it's Zap, and he's like, "You bastard!" Which I just love.
He's like, "I always hated that guy at work, and now I know why."
Like he's just there's one time like he only had 85 cents for the vending, which is like, "Hey Zap, can I give you 85 cents for a dollar?" And Zap's like, "Nope."
Yeah. And then he cut him at the water cooler. Oh, really? Again? This guy.
Sorry, those are the rules.
You bastard! That was my Diet Coke! The last one, you fucking bastard! So yeah, Michael Emerson, Danny Glover from across the window is like, oh shit, now it's my time to move. He sees the commotion, he barges in. He also doesn't...
Yeah, he's just like, wait, let me just point this gun at things and then not do anything.
God damn it, Danny Glover, you're right there.
And then there's like a car chase, and I mean, not really a car chase. It's like
this is bad.
It's like taxi cab confessions. Like you only see the dude.
So, how are you doing tonight? You get into any weird sex? Just drive me to my fucking house, you fucking creep.
Hey, man. I actually watched some of those.
I bet you did.
I had free HBO for a month. I was like, I'll watch all these old taxi cab. It is the same thing. Like, so you guys getting fucked tonight or what?
Yeah.
It's like, yo, dude, I just want to go to the next bar. Thank you very much.
Can I tell you, when I moved to New York, I was like, I wonder if I ever late night, like leave a bar, get in a cab,
oh,
and
yeah,
oops, dude, it's a taxi cab confessions cab. And this guy's going to be like, hey, fat guy. You get in any sexy situations tonight or what?
Instead, it was, hey, fat guy, you're in the cash cab.
Or, hey, fat guy, you're not going to throw up back there, are you? It's a $250 cleaning fee.
One time I was in a cab, and this guy was like, yeah, man, I got this. I just got to this. You ever get, like, I got bad news. I got this weird condition where I keep falling asleep. Woke up in the shower, I was bleeding all over the place.
The cab driver was telling you this?
Where are you going? Hey, man, where are you off to tonight?
I'm going right here, actually. You safely got to me to my destination.
Man, hey, man, you getting any sexy situations or what? I got narcolepsy and bleeding disorders.
Well, that's what they don't say. That the cash cab is actually the same thing as the taxi cab confession cab at night.
During the day, it's a cash cab. At night, it goes to
What would you do for $50?
Ben Bailey's like getting out, walking to the cab. In the morning, some days I clean off the blood, some days I clean off the cum.
Some days I give away $5,000.
This is no way to live. So yeah, it's like time's up. The phone, like he hears over the phone, like all the mayhem that's going on,
yeah,
and he freaks out and is like, I have to get home to my family. So what quick way to do that? Let's saw off my foot so I can run home, I guess.
Well, he saws off his foot and then he shoots Adam. He doesn't kill him because he's an expert marksman. Like, guess what, Andrew? If I was trying to shoot you And in the shoulder, I would totally shoot you in the heart by accident.
Oh, of
like,
course.
Right in the heart.
But are we thinking, though, that he's trying to do like a fake thing?
He says so. He's like, oh, I shot you in the shoulder. You'll be fine. I need to go to the...
But is it like a... Oh, it just happened that you lived, so that's good. It's only a shoulder wound. You're fine.
My flesh is rotting away. I have perfect aim right now.
Dude, note to the makeup department from this movie,
oh,
man.
Oh, please.
All of a sudden, he just looks like Johnny Depp in Dark Shadows. Out of nowhere, this dude is pasty ass white.
That's how much blood he lost.
Is he a ghost at this point? Yeah. Like, that would be a great twist. He's having this whole conversation. They look over, and dead Cary Elwes still has his foot in the goddamn lock.
You're dead, Larry.
Yeah, he's covered in chains and haunts like an insurance company.
Yeah, these are the chains I forged in life.
Yeah.
By the way, so this is a time movie, and like, time's up. There's still 20 minutes to go.
You better believe it. There was one point where I paused this movie because I didn't remember like how things ended up, and I was like, "We got to be done, right?" 44 minutes. Couldn't even believe it.
So, Michael Emerson kills Danny Glover by accident, sort of.
Total accident. He just gets like a quick shot to the gut,
thus like ending any point of Danny Glover ever being this movie.
He shot his whole role in 2 days. Apparently,
sounds about right.
Yep, checks out.
And then like Zep goes to the saw room, and then just gets beaten with a toilet. Toilet. Well, what? Not a
the tank cover.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, the tank cover.
Oh, I know my way around a toilet, man.
Which later Donnie Wahlberg will use to
eat off of,
sever his
twisted
foot. Essentially, saw his foot off
with a toilet cover.
He just like bashes it until it's like.
Wait, second movie, there's another foot chain sequence?
That's in the beginning of the third one.
Oh, Jesus. Come on.
Anyway, so Cary Elwes drags his body outside. He's like, I'll be back. I'll send for help. I'll be back.
Yeah, you know what? This dude's a total stranger to me. He was also taking pictures of me in secret. No. I'm going to leave that guy for dead.
And then this is where Jigsaw reemerges and stands up and
pulls off the like Halloween makeup he's got on.
To be fair, Jigsaw's like, hey, man, that key's in, it's been in the bathtub the whole time. Like,
yeah.
He's like trying to be cool with him. He's like, you know, congratulations, you won the game. You want me to take you to breakfast? There's a good place down there. They got good eggs.
It's called Denny's.
I was going to say, don't judge. It's a Denny's, but it's a good Denny's.
No, it's a good Denny's. I know I've been to bad Denny's myself. I wouldn't do that to you.
Do you want to go to a good Denny's? Steve, there are 3 Denny's in front of you. You have to pick the good one.
Oh.
If you pick the bad one, you get diarrhea and die.
That's how it's going to happen. I hate to say it.
All right, Steve, you're going to go to this Denny's, but it's mandatory that you order the corned beef hash. That's right. Denny's corned beef hash
with gravy.
Oh, ew.
But Adam like actually tries to shoot him, but he's all out of bullets, and that's when he says game over and locks him in the thing to kill him. Because like I think he was gonna let him go. I think he was like, hey man, you won my game, you beat it. Now don't you have? Hey, didn't this horrific experience make you like so much have much more zest for life? Oh no, you have PTSD. Oh, shit, sorry.
You'll never want to go outside again.
Oh, okay, that's weird. Yeah.
What's bizarre is, and maybe Kevin, they cover this in Jigsaw's Origins. Like, is he a boy from Brooklyn?
Why?
Because it's not a game over so much as it's a game over. As he slams this door.
Game over. That's it. That's stickball's done for the day.
Exactly, dude.
Oh, Mattingly took that to the fucking house. Game over. Game over.
Exactly. No, I was like, you got to enunciate that, man. That's not how people in Mid-City talk.
Take two. Can we do take two on Jigsaw? Thanks.
Game over. Game over.
And then we hit credits. Cue fucking Fear Factory, man. Ooh. Rocking their hearts out. Woo!
8 movies now. We're going to be up to eight movies.
And they're all like, oh, did you remember that one scene where like somebody sneezed? That has this whole significance in this.
Oh, yeah.
We made a whole movie about that, right?
Yeah, don't worry about that.
That well, the is woman, twisted.
The woman with the reverse bear trap Amanda. Becomes like the disciple of Jigsaw?
She's Pig Mask. She becomes the only one who wears the pig mask, and he becomes the doll
and
guy.
And apparently Dr. Gordon comes back as an apprentice as well.
Well, this will tell you how like micro they go with this stuff. Is like fucking Dina Meyer, who is in 2 shots, is a major fucking character in the second one, and a pretty major character in the third
one. She's trying to like get revenge for her fellow cops like getting murdered. Right?
Yes, and then she's like in a kind of relationship with Donnie Wahlberg.
Oh, sick.
Kind of thing.
I'm asleep already.
And then there's another thing. It's so bad. It's so fucking bad.
At what point does Donnie Wahlberg show up in his underwear in Bruce Willis's house?
Oh,
that's in Sixth Sense.
I'm sorry. Yeah, you had me mixed up there for a bit.
So let's pretend like there aren't 8 of these. It's just focus on Saw 1, and this is mainly a note for Chris Cabin. Focus on Saw 1, 2004, directed by James Wan. Would you recommend this movie?
Absolutely not. And I think that he has gone on to do movies that I really, really dig, really scary movies. I'm interested in what his Aquaman's going to look like. I'm kind of cool with that, right?
Oh, right.
Is that
accurate?
That's still happening?
That's still happening.
I mean, we'll see. But, you know, it's DC, so we'll see. But, you know, I've hated this movie forever. It's really dull. It's not scary at all. It's not even gross. It's just kind of eh.
It's just trash. It's total fucking trash. And like even with the little don't think of all the other garbage, this is still garbage. Even
with your little suggestion you gave me, fuck you.
It's absolute garbage. He does this thing that drives me nuts. I'll call it cocaine footage.
Oh, where we're speeding up.
Where you speed up. It happens. I'm not kidding you. Every 5 minutes in this movie, like he just used speed ups, and like it.
Especially
gives
in
me
that
a headache.
That lame car chase. Yes. That's all that is. Is like someone pretend. It's Danny Glover pretending to drive a car, and then all this like speed footage.
And there is a scene, and it is this the seedling of these dude.
Seedling.
Of this getting more torture porny in the next one and the third one especially. But there is a scene where Michael Emerson like puts a gun to the girl's head, Carrie Elway's daughter. And the whole scene, it's like 2 minutes long, and it's literally just the girl crying.
Yeah. Yes.
And like he holds on that shit. I don't know what benefit that is to anybody.
It's intense, man.
And
it's
I guess so, but
extreme,
no.
Extreme, bro!
As I said in the beginning, fuck this movie. Fuck this movie.
The twists and everything are stupid as fuck. I thought it was gonna be worse than it was.
Okay.
So I actually am gonna recommend it. Ooh. I've never seen it before until I watched it for the show. I don't want to watch any of the sequels.
Oh, you're not gonna be a Sawhead?
No, I'm not gonna be a Sawhead, but
I think they call them lumberjacks, by the way.
I was kind of
that was stupid.
Well, a couple of loggers here. I was kind of surprised. I think this movie's way better than Scream 2.
Wow, all right.
I mean, it's not good. We're on We Hate Movies. But I would kind of recommend it because I had never seen it before and it was better than I expected.
Okay.
I guess, like, if you don't know, I mean, you listen to this, so we told you everything, you know, like that twist included. So if you haven't seen it, I guess there's no reason to watch it at this point. Like, in 2004, it was like a quote-unquote fresh thing. Now there's 8 of them. It's all ruined. Any kind of, like, or it just became like everything else. Which I know I was just saying not to judge it against the rest of the franchise, but I guess I'm realizing that's also impossible. No, I wouldn't recommend
it. I think it's an interesting model for, like, making a cheap horror movie.
Oh, sure.
Out of what you have. And, I mean, this was a calling card for them. They made a bunch of money, and they made movies that they liked that are better than this from this. So
Wan's
I understand
also directed
the,
like a Fast and Furious movie.
The best Fast and Furious, I would say.
7, right?
7, I think, is the best one.
Who did 8?
8 is F. Gary Gray.
Oh, right.
And it is fucking awful.
Ooh.
Might be a stay tuned.
Ooh, it might be a stay tuned. Yeah, I don't know. I guess, like, you know the biggest thing about this movie? Not a lot of bad CGI. And that's like... With like low budget horror now, that's all we're doing is like bad CGI and also fucking bad digital video.
Yeah, no, that is true. This is shot on film. It looks, yeah. It doesn't look too bad.
Doesn't look too bad. That Saw, directed by James Wan. If you want more WHM, check out whmpodcast.com or find us over on the HeadGum Network. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter. We are, of course, at WHM Podcast. Rate and review the show wherever you get it. And if you would like more We Hate Movies content, patreon.com/WeHateMovies. So next week, unfortunately, you guys, the Halloween Spooktacular comes to an end. Ugh. Cabin, what's this movie? I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, Trick or Treat.
Now, this is the Trick or Treat with Ozzy Osbourne.
Ozzy Osbourne.
1986,
right? 1986, I believe. And also Gene Simmons has a cameo in it.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm not going to spoil it for it's really a truly special movie.
We had a quick little digression on T.J. Hooker on this episode.
Oh, sure.
And I want to just quickly mention that me and Ben Wooster and Andrew and Steve have been on, and hopefully Chris soon. There's a show called Hooked on T.J. Hooker.
That's right.
Where we're recapping every single episode of T.J. Hooker because no one would want to listen to that.
Oh, wait, Ben's on it? Now I'll listen.
TJHookerPodcast.com.
There's that. And also next week, by the way, will be our Halloween franchise ranking episode, the bonus on screen. We're going to be ranking the Nightmare on Elm Street films.
So trash time, everybody.
Yeah, speaking of trashy franchises, but better than this franchise?
Yes, definitely. Absolutely, 100%.
I believe you, and I hate the fucking Freddy movies.
So until next week, where we celebrate Halloween on We Hate Movies, I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cavan.
Eric Soska.
Take it easy.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
You know, it's Halloween. I guess everyone's entitled to one good scare. Huh?
Sometimes.
Zombies have entered the building. They're at the door. They're coming in.
It is time to keep your appointment with the Wicker Man.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
These sick fucks. You've seen one too many movies.
Nah, Sid! Don't you blame the movies! Movies don't create psychos! Movies make psychos more creative!
What an excellent day for an exorcism.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.